Hello everyone, and welcome to the second episode of the Strings of Thought podcast. My name is Nedelina Zeleva, and today we have our next episode guest, the Greek guitarist and composer Stereos Kyriakidis. What you just heard was one of his own compositions called Moving Up. Today, we'll get to know Stelios and learn more about his creative compositional process. Hi Stelios, and welcome to the show.
Hello Nedelina, I'm glad to be here.
Could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yes, as you said, I was born in Greece and I'm a guitarist, classical guitarist. I play other kinds of guitar and some other instruments, and also I write music for guitar and other instruments as well. I've been living in London for a long time, and I'm currently studying in Trinity Laban for a master's with Graham Devin.
That's great. The piece that we just heard is from your new EP album, Small Primal Voices, that consists of four solo pieces for the classical guitar. Could you tell us about the CD and what inspired you to compose these pieces?
So the CD was recorded about a year and a half ago, and those four pieces, there were a lot of limitations around the recording process, and I chose just to do four pieces because of time limits. And those four pieces were composed in different times. They were not all composed in the same. So Moving Up is an older piece. Then the last piece on the EP, Night, from the Optica Suite, that's from 2011. So they were all from different different times, and the inspiration for them was different as well, because they were from different phases of my life.
What was the inspiration behind Moving Up?
Moving Up, I think it was summer. I think I was in Greece, close to a beach. That was one of the pieces actually that it was written on the guitar. So it was through improvisation on the instrument. I just picked it up and just started playing. And I had this like rough melody, and then it developed from there. But it was kind of like a easygoing piece, because usually I write sometimes heavy stuff and melancholic. And this was I like this because it was more light, and just very contrasting to the many other pieces I write.
And what about the other three pieces? What were they inspired by?
The Elegy in B minor, the second one, was inspired by... I was watching a YouTube video. There was somebody that was murdered in Greece. I think that was in 2013. And I was just watching a YouTube video with an interview. And sometimes when I'm watching something, I play as well.
Yeah.
And the rough structure of the piece actually was, I was just watching the interview, and then I wrote it. I wrote that, which if you listen to the piece, it shows, because it's very melancholic. The third one, Small Primal Voices, which is the title of the EP as well, it's kind of what the title says. I want to have like very, very simple melodies, kind of similar to what Villa-Lobos or other composers did, taking melodies from Native Americans, and then making that into a piece, but very, very simple. And the last one, Night, from the Optica Suite, this is a suite with three movements, and is inspired by the change of light during the day. So the first piece is called Dawn, and the second one, Sunset. And the last one that is on the EP is called Night, and it's kind of a calming piece towards the end of the day.
Yeah, most of your pieces sound very melancholic.
Yeah, this is my natural tendency to write like that. But so when I write something different, I'm very happy.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's not good to have like a 10 pieces that are all the same.
But it's really great because that's kind of like your own style, your own voice.
Yeah, this is what comes naturally to me. So as a composer, you have to be true to kind of what you are. So you have to accept those tendencies, but maybe work on expanding them.
Through experimentation.
Yeah.
How and when did you record the EP?
That was recorded in March 2017 and was released in July 2017. The process of that is actually very interesting. It had to do a lot. I was very lucky, short story. So I was playing, he was recording Heath Street Baptist Church in Hampstead. I did many lunchtime concerts there, and I wanted to record something because a lot of people were asking me after the recital, do you have any CD or something we can buy? And then I didn't have anything, so I said, okay, it's a good idea to have something, maybe not a full length, but maybe an EP. So I arranged with the church to have the space for about 8 hours. And I was doing a lunchtime recital 5 days before at the same church. I announced that I was recording, and then there was someone in the audience that said after the recital, do you want me to help you with the recording? I have some experience. I was very reluctant in the beginning. I said, who is this guy, and does he know anything, or but it turned out actually that he was, without him the CD would never happen, because he had the equipment, he knew how to set up the mics and how to get a good sound from the guitar. Also, he had a very musical ear, so he would act like a producer, this take is not so good, have another one, and then another one, then another one. So it was really, and in the end I credit him as a producer, because that's what he did, apart from the technical stuff. And it turned out that he was setting mobile studios back in the day for ABBA and Keith Richards from Rolling Stones.
Yeah,
and that was his job. He owned a studio in London. He had like a recording studio. I was very lucky, but now that I think about it, it's, if you put yourself out there, you have a lot of recitals and concerts. It's also a matter of luck, but if you expose yourself through, performances and any kind of event, you are increasing the probabilities that something like that will happen.
Yeah,
and you never know when it will happen. It might be like a concert that you say nothing will come out of it, and then something comes out.
Yeah, it brings more opportunities.
Exactly.
Mm. Yeah, we have to do that more often.
Exactly.
Guitarists are a bit shy.
Yeah, you never know who's going to be in the audience, even in the smallest space and everything. And of course, it's a good performance practice for us, for the nerves and the stress. But also professionally, it might be like an engineer or someone that wants to help you. So, or maybe like somebody that writes for a magazine or a blog and then want to do a review.
Yeah, you never know.
Yeah.
Sometimes you find online reviews about your performance and you didn't even know.
Exactly. You didn't know. Yeah.
What other projects are you working on right now?
So because I'm in the final year in my postgrad in Trinity, most of the projects have to do with the assessments I have to do there. The piece that I'll play in the end is a part of a three or four movement piece for music and dance that I will perform in my final recital. And another project would be the personal project, again for Trinity, that I would write duets for guitar and for two guitars, or for like guitar and other instruments like violin and flute, that can be used with students that have like educational value, but also will be pieces of music that you will just be able to listen to and appreciate without even knowing how to play an instrument.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, more like the kind of the jazz standards tradition, when the jazz players learn you know, the all the jazz hits that, you know, they were not written actually for starting, they were written for to be released as albums and become hits, and then you learn from this, because in the end they're music. So that's my goal, to write like maybe 6 or 7 duets, record a CD with other musicians, and also hopefully in the future publish the scores, and then so people can use them for studying or even just for playing.
As well as a composer, you're also a well-established classical guitar performer with many years of experience. What concert pieces are you preparing for your upcoming performances?
The concert pieces I'm preparing are the 5 Villa-Lobos preludes that I will be playing, because the first performance will be on the 16th of January at St. Botolph's Church in the city, mm-hmm. City of London. So all the Villa-Lobos preludes, especially, probably I will be, right now the third one, the fourth one and the second one are almost ready and worthy of people listening to them. And I'm kind of working on the 5th and the first one. So they're not performance ready yet, but hopefully they will be soon. Apart from that, I'm always playing a repertoire that I've been playing for a long time. The Bach, the 998, the Lute Suite. It's something that I'm always playing, although it's demanding and it's difficult to maintain it, but sometimes I will play it as a prelude or the fugue. And yes, at the moment is that, because I want to like renew my repertoire from many years. So I was playing the Toroba Sonatina before, but I want to like try new things. So I would say right now the Villa-Lobos prelude and eventually the Smith-Brindle Sonata number 4 would be the main pieces for the next 6 months.
What are some of the main challenges you face as a classical guitar composer, performer and teacher?
So this is a very big question. there are many aspects. I will start from the last one, as a teacher. The challenge I'm facing is, I guess, the challenges that exist in the classical guitar world. The method of classical guitar teaching that is based on mostly on solo pieces and not a very musically rounded education, that would be the main challenge, let's say, I face as a teacher. That's why that project I'm doing with the duets, it will kind of try to address this. So have more pieces that are good for not just one guitar, but, you know, for people to play together. And have also improvisation inside, and you can have the choice of playing just the chords or playing the accompaniment or even changing the accompaniment according to your skills. So it gets you to think a bit more creatively. I initially started as an electric guitarist and then I moved on to classical guitar later. So I kind of want to combine those roles and then have, because each of them have the pros and cons, and so in the electric guitar you have a lot of creativity, but you don't have a lot of notation, a lot of people don't know how to read, and of course they miss out on a lot of very good classical guitar pieces. On the classical guitar you have a lot of, you're based on the page. If you're outside of the page, then there are not a lot of things that you can do. So I'm trying to kind of combine both of these worlds and try to get people to be more creative, to get the improvisation, the ensemble playing back in the classical guitar. And that's actually one of the challenges as a composer as well, when I'm writing for guitar, just to kind of get this balance between very free thinking but also some structure as well.
It's like a new way of composing for the guitar.
Yes, in a way. I don't want to write another piece that... I mean, the pieces I'm playing today, they're, you know, notated, and they're notated to the note and everything. But with the duet, it would be a good opportunity to have maybe a bit less notation, and then have maybe the rough structure and give more freedom to the student or the teacher as well. Jazz music, baroque music as well, is like this, with a figure bass. So you could reharmonize it. You have like the melody and the figure bass, and it's also the same with jazz. And it's not instrument specific. That's why baroque music is played in many different ensembles and instruments, because you can rearrange it. The elements of music, like melody and harmony, are there, and then you can use them whichever way you want. You can play the guitar, the bass and the melody, or you can have like a string quartet or something else. So that's something I would like to do from the educational side. As a performer on my own, always the challenge is to that you're on your own, and you know, every sound is important, and if you're a bit stressed, then maybe some dynamics don't come out very well, and you know, everyone is listening to you, and it's just one guitar, it's not very loud, and every noise you make is listened by the audience. For me, this is the most difficult thing, because that everything really matters.
But there's never a perfect time to play. I mean, you always feel a little bit under pressure.
Oh yes.
But that in a way is a good thing, because you can use that to enhance your performance.
Yes, of course, yeah. And I think the only practice for performance is to perform.
This is
the only practice. You cannot sit here and think, oh, I'm performing. You have to do it in front of people.
Yeah, and that gives you more confidence.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. If you stay at home and just practice, it's not gonna go very far away.
Exactly, yeah.
What are your future musical aspirations?
I guess what every musician or artist that puts the work out there, to be recognized and successful professionally and financially as well, so you know, I can make a living out of it. So I would like the CD to go well, and hopefully those duets to be successful, and just to be able to have a variety of activities. So to be able to make a living as a musician, but have a variety of activities. So,
what advice would you give to classical guitar players who want to produce their own music?
I would say them, do it. Produce their own music. Take the matters into your own hands, because the world has changed, you know, record labels and this kind of establishment is not dead, but dying. Of course, at some level, if you're very successful, then I guess the labels will be interested in you, but they, from what I've heard and what I've experienced, they already want you to be kind of, to have your own recordings, and then be already out there performing and everything. So I would say, just create your own opportunity. So if you decide to record something, find someone, maybe a student, engineering student, a sound engineer, that they can help you with it, with and not being too expensive. Find a nice space, and maybe you can provide something in return. Arrange your own performances. Have your website, social media, spend some time on them, putting out videos, performances on SoundCloud, all those things. I mean, we have to kind of do everything nowadays.
Yeah, you have to be your own producer and advertiser.
Yeah, manager as well. Everything, mm. which is...
It's inevitable.
Yeah.
Stelios, thank you so much for all your responses.
Thank you, Nadelina. I'm very happy that you invited me.
Yeah, I'm really happy podcast. To have you here.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Now, Stelios is going to play for us another one of his most recent compositions called Let Go, This Is the End. It's the final movement of a new piece for guitar and two dancers. This episode of the podcast, please leave a comment and share it with your friends. In the description down below, you can find all Stelios' social media professional accounts. Thank you so much for listening, and I will talk to you in our next episode.